A human eye. Harry Potter's bloodied face. A host of press photographers flash their cameras repeatedly at the dazed-looking Harry and a tall, white-haired old man with a long white beard, Professor Dumbledore. He puts his left arm protectively around Harry's shoulder and steers him through the crowd. Dumbledore wears two rings on his left hand. Looming out of the dark clouds, jagged metal letters form the words, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Reflected in the glass of a tall office building, the brooding storm clouds settle over the city of London. Staff on one of the upper floors gather at the windows and look out in alarm as the menacing clouds drift ever closer. Lightning flashes behind the clouds. They billow forward in the shape of a skull from which three dark trails of smoke appear. They swoop through the clouds down towards the Thames, then across Trafalgar Square. They sweep up Charing Cross Road, moving swiftly past Leicester Square tube station. Travelling down narrow alleys, back streets and through solid walls, they hurtle into Diagon Alley, where they swoop into a shop. It bursts into flames. People lie injured as the Death Eaters emerge from the shop, one holding a man with a bag over his head. Two wear metal masks. The third has a long, thin face and a beard. They zoom away and weave over and under the Millennium Bridge. It tilts and sways, flinging people against the parapets. They cling on desperately. Steel supports are ripped away. Those on the undulating bridge run in panic. The remaining supports give way, and the bridge crashes into the murky waters of the Thames. The three trails of smoke rise from the river and cross each other in a blur. Surbiton Railway Station. Harry is in the cafe reading the Daily Prophet. Headlines include Bridge Collapse, Death Toll Rises, Harry Potter the Chosen One, Azkaban's Latest Resident, Fallen from Grace, Malfoy's Wife and Son Leave the Trial, A Pretty Waitress.
Harry Potter. Who's Harry Potter?
He puts down the paper.
Oh, no one. Bit of a tosser, really.
Funny, that paper of yours. A couple of nights ago, I could have sworn I saw a picture of me.
Really?
Thought I was going around a twig.
She smiles at him, then starts to walk away. He spins round.
Hey, I was wondering...
11. That's when I get off. You can tell me all about that tosser, Harry Potter.
Harry smiles at the waitress. As she goes, he cups his hand over his mouth. He snips his breath, then pops a mint in his mouth. A train flashes through the station. Harry slowly rises and walks to a window. A light flickers on the platform opposite. He uses his sleeve to wipe condensation from the glass. Another train passes. Harry's eyes are fixed on the opposite platform. As the train disappears, he sees Professor Dumbledore standing in front of a billboard advertising Divine Magic perfume. Harry smiles and crosses over to join him. Dumbledore stares at the Divine Magic billboard.
You've been reckless this summer, Harry.
I like riding around on trains. It takes my mind off things.
Dumbledore has a blackened hand.
Rather unpleasant to behold, isn't it? The tale is thrilling, if I say so myself. But now is not the time to tell us. Take my arm.
Harry sees the waitress leave the cafe.
Do as I say.
Harry holds Dumbledore's left arm. Harry's face contorts as they spin. They're on a street.
I just apparated, didn't I?
Indeed. Quite successfully, too, I might add. Most people vomit the first time.
I can't imagine why.
Dumbledore walks past a market cross. Harry follows him down the dark street.
Welcome to the charming village of Budley Babberton. Harry, I assume right about now you must be wondering why I brought you here. Am I right?
Actually, sir, after all these years, I'll just sort of go with it.
They stop outside the detached house. The front door is off its hinges.
Wands out, Harry.
As they enter the house, Dumbledore holds his wand in his undamaged left hand. The tips of their wands glow like torches.
Horace!
The house is in a mess. Pictures hang at angles. There are scratches on a doorframe. Harry and Dumbledore enter the sitting room where the furniture is toppled over.
Horace.
The room has been completely trashed. A copy of the Daily Prophet lies on the floor, the one with Harry's picture. As Harry stares down at the paper, a spot of blood drops onto it. Harry looks up. Plaster has broken away, revealing blood-stained rafters. A drop lands on his forehead. Dumbledore wipes the blood off Harry's forehead with a finger and tastes it with the tip of his tongue. Dumbledore glances suspiciously around the room. He fixes his eyes on an overstuffed, comfy armchair and slowly walks towards it. Harry follows. Dumbledore prods the armchair with his wand.
Merlin's beard!
A man in disguise.
No need to disfigure me, Albus.
Well, I must say you make a very convincing armchair, Horace.
It's all in the upholstery. I come by the stuffing naturally. What gave me away?
Dragon's blood.
He spots Harry.
Oh.
Oh, yes, introductions. Harry, I'd like you to meet an old friend and colleague of mine, Horace Slughorn. Horace? Yeah. Well, you know who this is.
Harry Potter.
So what's with all the theatrics, Horace? You weren't by any chance waiting for someone else, were you?
Someone else? I'm sure I don't know what you mean. Oh, all right. The Death Eaters have been trying to recruit me for over a year. Do you know what that's like? I can only say no to these people so many times, so I never stay anywhere more than a week. The Muggles who own this place are in the Canary Islands.
Well, I think we should put it back in order for them, don't you?
Yes.
Mind.
Dumbledore sweeps his wand over the room. Bits of broken glass fly towards a shattered chandelier. It rehangs itself from the ceiling. Harry steps aside as a vinyl disc returns to a record player. Books fly back onto shelves and a grand piano rights itself. The missing plaster renews itself on the ceiling and Harry smiles. He looks down at his feet. Trapped under his trainer is a piece from the chandelier. He raises his foot and it zooms up to its rightful place.
That was fun. Do you mind if I use the loo?
No, of course. Don't think I don't know why you're here, Albus. The answer's still no. Absolutely and unequivocally no.
Horace wears pyjamas made from upholstery fabric. He grins at Harry.
You look very like your father. Except for the eyes, of course. You have your...
My mother's eyes, yeah.
Lily. Lovely Lily. She's exceedingly bright, your mother. Even more impressive when one considers she was muggle-born.
One of my best friends is muggle-born. She's the best in our year.
Oh, please don't think I'm prejudiced. No, no, no. Your mother was one of my absolute favourites. Look, there she is, right at the front.
Harry crosses over to a collection of framed, moving photographs.
All mine. Each and every one. Ex-students, I mean.
A group of them raise glasses.
You recognise Barnabas Cuff, editor of the Daily Prophet? Always takes my owl should I wish to register an opinion on the news of the day. Quinnog Jones, captain of the Holyhead Harpies, free tickets whenever I want them. Of course, I haven't been to a match in some time. Ah, yes, Regulus Black. You no doubt know of his older brother, Sirius, died a few weeks ago. I taught the whole Black family, except Sirius. It's a shame. Talented boy. I got Regulus when he came along, of course, but I'd have liked the set.
Horace, do you mind if I take this?
Dumbledore holds up a copy of Knitter's Own magazine.
I do love knitting patterns.
Yes, of course, but you're not leaving, are you?
Oh, I think I know a lost cause when I see one. Regrettable. I would have considered it a great personal triumph had you consented to return to Hogwarts. Oh, well, you're like my friend Mr. Potter here, one of a kind. Well, bye-bye, Horace. Bye.
Dumbledore leaves. Harry glances at Horace Slughorn, then goes out. As they walk down the path, Slughorn comes after them.
All right, I'll do it. But I want Professor Merrithorpe's old office, not the water closet I had before. And I expect a raise. These are mad times we live in, mad.
They are indeed.
In the street.
Sir, exactly what was all that about?
You are talented, famous and powerful. Everything Horace values. Professor Slughorn is going to try to collect you, Harry. You would be his crowning jewel. That's why he's returning to Hogwarts. And it's crucial he should return. I fear I may have stolen a wondrous night from you, Harry. She was, truthfully, very pretty. The girl.
It's all right, sir. I'll go back tomorrow, make some excuse.
Oh, you'll not be returning to Little Whinging tonight, Harry.
But, sir, what about Hedwig? And my trunk?
Both are waiting for you.
Dumbledore holds out his arm. Harry braces himself. Dust rises as they apparate. Alone, Harry lands in a stream.